from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 95 to 5 kHz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is Ania Sana with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian Minister Muhammad Nasir says that government is to issue regulation on e-learning. Indonesian government is to open new markets and products. And now the news in detail. The Indonesian government will issue a regulation on online learning program or e-learning in the near future. This was stated by Minister of Research, Technology and Higher Education Muhammad Nasir in Jakarta on Monday. On the sidelines of a discussion with Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi and 4,000 students, the Ministry of Research, Technology and Higher Education is formulating a regulation on e-learning, and the ministerial regulation will mention the implementation of the online lecturing program. The government has targeted to start the e-learning program in mid-2018 and encourage higher learning institutions to become a cyber university. For its initial stage, the government has started pilot projects in some higher learning institutions, including in the Polytechnic of Surabaya and Bina Nusantara University in Yogyakarta. The move is expected to improve the quality of higher learning institutions in Indonesia of both private and state-run universities. The government of Indonesia is pursuing the value of Indonesia's exports lagging behind Malaysia, Thailand, and Vietnam by opening new export markets and new products. This was affirmed by Indonesian Trade Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita after meeting Vice President Yusuf Kalla at the Vice President's office in Jakarta on Monday. Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita said that the increase in exports is still palm and coal, while new products in manufacturing, such as automotive engines, are exported to new destinations such as Pakistan, India, Bangladesh, and a number of countries in Africa.
Ini jadi dua hal ya, jadi pasar baru dan produk baru. Kita ini masih dominan.
There are two points: new markets and new products. We are still dominant in palm and coal, a new large manufacturing industry ranging from shoes, textiles, automotive, machinery has also started to increase. Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita further said that Vice President Yusuf Kalla requested the investment should be oriented to export products that also get incentives from the government. Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita added that Indonesia's export value in December 2017 reached $14.79 billion, or decreased 3.45% compared to exports in November 2017, while compared to December 2016, it increased 6.93%. The Embassy of the Republic of Indonesia in Singapore tries to improve the competence of Indonesian seamen who perform sign-on, sign-off activities in Singapore. The efforts to improve the competence are done through the provision of Singapore-Indonesian worker cards, which will facilitate Indonesian seamen in Singapore to get access to skills training after they finish sailing. This was disclosed by Indonesian Ambassador to Singapore Igede Ngurah Swajaya to media people in Indonesia. to media in Jakarta on Monday. Insert the dubbing. The next stage we have is seamen. The seamen who sign on, sign off are around 20,000 to 30,000. The next stage is that we go to the sailors. Well, this will continue to be developed. So the Indonesian seamen working on Singapore flag ships are to sign on and sign off in Singapore through the Indonesian embassy in Singapore. So these seamen will also give us cards like KPIS that make it easier for them, for example, if they get access to skills. They should always improve their competence. Ambassador Ngurah Swajaya added that the awarding of Singapore Indonesian Workers' Card KPIS to Indonesian seamen in Singapore is one manifestation of services and protection efforts of Indonesian citizens who become workers in Singapore. In addition to facilitating access to skills training, the card ownership of the Indonesian seamen in Singapore can also easily gain access to employment insurance or BPJS employment from the government of Indonesia. The granting of the Indonesian Workers' Card, KPIS, to Indonesian seamen in Singapore is a follow-up of the provision of the cards to Indonesian migrant workers in Singapore since December 2016. The card itself is connected digitally with Smart Embassy program owned by the Indonesian Embassy in Singapore, which contains a number of features such as monitoring the location of the workers of Tanah Water, various other consular services, Indonesian banking access in cooperation with Bank Negara Indonesia 46 Bank, training and education, and also insurance. Canadian government encourages existing educational institutions in the country to collaborate with other educational institutions in Indonesia, particularly vocational or technical training institutions. This was stated by Canadian Ambassador to Indonesia and Timor-Leste, Peter MacArthur, in his speech at the Canada Education Exhibition EduCanada on Sunday, February 11, 2018.
So we are increasingly encouraging Canadian institutions to promote technical and vocational training programs and pursue more research collaboration with Indonesian institutions in line with the priority that the government of India is in developing more vocational skills.
In addition, Ambassador Peter MacArthur said that his side also encouraged Indonesian students to continue their studies in Canada. Moreover, Canada and Indonesia are in a forum of ASEAN education cooperation called Canada-ASEAN Scholarships and Educational Exchanges for Development, or SEED. This program is a student exchange program that specifically provides opportunities for students or members of ASEAN member countries to continue their studies or research at Canadian post-secondary institutions at the college, undergraduate, and graduate levels. This news comes to you over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Embassy of the Republic of Indonesia in Singapore is trying to continuously improve the information technology or IT system that has been used to market products from Indonesia in Singapore. Through the development of the system, buyers who are in Singapore can directly connect with electronic commerce sites or e-commerce that sell products from Indonesia offered by the Indonesian Embassy in Singapore. This was stated by Indonesian Ambassador to Singapore, I Gede Ngurah Swajaya, to the media in Jakarta on Monday. Insert the dubbing. In regard to this, we are also trying to keep developing again. We reported earlier to the president, not just stop there, knowing the product and who the exports are. But later in the application, they can get into the e-commerce platform. Ambassador Ngurah Swajaya further said that the development of information technology system or IT conducted by the Embassy of the Republic of Indonesia in Singapore related to economic diplomacy is a follow-up development of the construction of a showroom or a gallery of Indonesian products in the Indonesian Embassy building. Now, through the showroom, the people of Singapore, especially importers, can easily obtain information related to Indonesian products by scanning the barcodes contained in each product on display. Indonesian Foreign Ministry, through the Indonesian Citizen Protection Directorate and Indonesian Legal Affairs and Indonesian Consulate General in Penang, Malaysia, continues to provide legal assistance for Adelina, a migrant worker who was allegedly killed because of her employer's torture in Malaysia. So far, the legal process, the fulfillment of rights, the family search of Adelina is still a priority, at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. This was stated by Director of Indonesian Citizen Protection and Indonesian Legal Board of Foreign Ministry, Lalu Muhammad Iqbal, to the media in Jakarta on Monday, February the 12th.
Ya, pasti kita akan memberikan pendampingan.
Well, since the beginning, we have already provided legal assistance for her. So the Consulate General has assigned the staff to meet the law enforcer, forensic doctor, and see her body and escort the investigation. So we have three priorities. First, we make sure that the legal process runs well. Second, we fight for their fights. And third, we have to find her family in Indonesia. Lalu Muhammad Iqbal added that so far there have been two men in custody for the case of, and another one is still fugitive. He views that the heaviest sentence for them is capital punishment because the torture can be categorized as premeditated murder. Adelina, who is 21 years old, is a migrant worker from East Nusa Tenggara, and she was found by the rescue team on Saturday, February 10, 2018, in a dog cage in a weak condition. She died during the medical process in Bukit Mertajam Hospital on Sunday afternoon, February 11, at 16:45 local time. And the last item, responding to Indonesian President Joko Widodo's request in a working meeting of Indonesian representatives in Jakarta on Monday, the Indonesian Embassy in Singapore begins to improve services for Indonesians in Singapore. The Indonesian Citizen Protection and Economy Diplomacy becomes the two main focuses for the embassy. This was stated by Indonesian Ambassador to Singapore, I Gedeng Wiraswajaya, to the media in Jakarta on Monday evening.
Saya kira sesuai dengan instruksi Pak Presiden.
I think that based on the President's instruction disclosed through the Minister of Foreign Affairs, there are two focuses that we are trying to improve the services in Singapore. One of them is to serve and protect Indonesian people, and second one is about economy diplomacy. So we are thinking how we can serve better and faster, more accountable and more satisfying for Indonesian people, including in the economy diplomacy context. Ambassador Ngurah Swajaya added that the embassy has developed a technology information-based system in connection with the protection and economy diplomacy. He views that the system will be renewed to create smart embassy. Through the system, Indonesian citizens in Singapore can easily access many kinds of services. Besides, the system also provides online information about Indonesian products that are marketed in Singapore. And listener, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian President Joko Widodo demands implementation of cash for work programs. Indonesian government is to open new markets and products. And that was the news from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, Commentary. The title of today's commentary is Sounding Spot Through Radio. Today, February 13 becomes a special day for workers and radio listeners. Since 2012, this date has been celebrated as World Radio Day. Radio and Sport became the theme of 7th anniversary of World Radio Day in 2018. Sport has become the focus of the world and Asia this year. There is a Winter Olympics held in South Korea. FIFA World Cup 2018 is to place in Russia and Asian Games 2018 in Indonesia. For Radio Republic Indonesia, RRI, this theme is very appropriate. The commitment to spread sport activities proves that RRI is appointed as a radio license holder of broadcasting of the World Cup 2018. Quoting the statement of Director of Public Broadcasting RRI, M. Rohanuddin, with the FIFA license, it is expected that RRI provides its best contribution in a bid to satisfy the needs of listeners who come from various cycles and places throughout Indonesia. And this can be carried out well. Listeners can also share the progress or World Cup report. In addition, Indonesia this year will also host the 18 Asian Games. RRI has to be responsible to distribute the information about the matches, achievements, and new records created at every four-year sport event. The competition in the game must be an interesting attraction that can be spread to the listeners. Surely, radio can present not only matches, competition, and achievement as a broadcasting material, but also there are many other aspects expected to be the aspiration, as you say, inspiration of the audience. The moment of three major sporting events this year, such as the Winter Olympic, the 2018 World Cup, and the Asian Games, must be used by radio broadcasters, especially RRI, to create exciting broadcasts. The broadcast is expected to be able to make the listeners recognize and understand the diversity of sport as a legacy of tradition. Radio, for example, should be able to create events that promote gender equality in sports. More importantly, radio must present broadcasts that reinforces the spirit of peace and development in the world of sports. These three issues are the focus of UNESCO World Radio Day commemorative sub-theme that is expected to be realized by radio broadcast. Amid the rise of social media as a new communication medium, it is believed that radio can still play a major role to provide information that inspires its audience. At least in Indonesia, the spirit of sport will be spread to at least 62.3 million listeners. The number of listeners is based on AC Nielsen data for the third semester in 2017. With its power to entertain, educate, inform, and inspire, radio can certainly sound the spot through his broadcast. As UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres put it, on World Radio Day, let us celebrate both radio and sport as ways of helping people achieve their full potential. Congratulations on World Radio 2018. Thanks for listening our broadcast. That's commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Voice of Indonesia. VOR. Today's sound.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's start from 1755, Treaty of Giyanti signed by VOC, Pakubuwono III, and Prince Mangkubumi. The treaty divides the Javanese Kingdom of Mataram into two, Sultanate of Surakarta and Sultanate of Yogyakarta. The Treaty of Giyanti was signed and ratified on February 13, 1755 in Giyanti, southeast of Karanganyar, Central Java, between Prince Mangkubumi, the Dutch East India Company, and the Sultan and Sunan Pakubuwono III, along with his allies. Based on the terms of the agreement, the eastern half of the Sultanate of Mataram in Central Java, Indonesia, was given to Pakubuwono III, with Surakarta as its capital, while the western half was given to Prince Mangkubumi with its capital in Yogyakarta. The treaty marked the division of former territory of Mataram Sultanate between Surakarta Sunanate and Yogyakarta Sultanate. After the signing of the treaty, Prince Mangkubumi changed his title as Prince and became known as Sultan Hamengkubuwono I. The accord did not end hostilities in the area since Prince Sambernyowo or Raden Mas Said continued to fight against Pakubuwono III. The background of this treaty is perpetuated in the babat entitled Babat Giyanti. Next is from February 13, 1946, the Indonesian Pharmacy Exports Association is established. The anniversary of Indonesian Pharmacy Association cannot be separated from the birthday of Indonesian Pharmacy Exports Association, or PAFI. PAFI is an organization that gathers professional pharmacists, assistants, and pharmacists. 6 months after the proclamation of the Republic of Indonesia, PAFI was established. It is precisely on February 13, 1946 at Hotel Merdeka, Yogyakarta, with the first chairman, Zainal Abidin. PAFI members, who at the time consisted of several pharmacists and assistant pharmacists, were determined to do something for a newly independent country by seeking the procurement of necessary medicines. At the beginning of independence, there was a war with Dutch troops intended to reclaim their colonies. At the first, PAFI chairman Zainal Abidin and Casio were tasked with moving the pharmaceutical and machinery materials in Jakarta to Yogyakarta, Tawangmangu, and Ambarwinangun by train. Zainal Abidin and friends of other pharmacist assistants eventually succeeded in removing the pharmaceutical materials and medicines then given to the freedom fighters of the Republic of Indonesia who needed it. And the last is World Radio Day, which is observed every February the 13th. World Radio Day is about celebrating radio, why we love it, and why we need it today more than ever. A day to remember the unique power of radio to touch lives and bring people together across every corner of the globe. It was proclaimed on November 3, 2011 by UNESCO 36th General Conference after originally being proposed by the Kingdom of Spain. And then UNESCO decided that February the 13th is the World Radio Day. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Hello listener, this is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, through our program My Indonesia. The title of My Indonesia is Maintaining Pancasila. The young generation of Indonesia must have a comprehensive understanding of Pancasila. This was disclosed by Chairman of Commission 2 of the House of the Representatives, DPR Zainuddin Amali, during hearing with the Head of State Office of President and Head of UKP PPI at the Parliament Building in Senayan, Jakarta on Wednesday. Zainuddin Amali views that the comprehensive understanding of Pancasila is essential to face the challenges of globalization and the inclusion of transnational thoughts. Thus, the assistance of the Presidential World Union of Pancasila Ideology Development is very important to face the challenges of this era. Similar opinion was stated by member of Commission 9 of the DPR, Nurmansyah Tanjung, during the designation of four pillars, namely Pancasila, the 1945 Constitution, the Unitary State of Republic of Indonesia and Bhinneka Tunggal Ika, which means unity and diversity in Bogor, West Java on Sunday. He affirmed that Pancasila should be the permanent house of all Indonesian people who live across Indonesia. He also stated that Pancasila is able to counteract negative aspects in the state. He reminded that the future generation must fully understand Pancasila. Deputy Chairman of People's Consulta Assembly MPR, Osman Sabta, disclosed that to remember and understand Pancasila, someone must start from their inner heart and mind. This was expressed in the socialization of the four pillars of the Assembly to hundreds of cadres of Pancasila Youth Organization in Haj Padang Dormitory, West Sumatra, last Thursday. As quoted from the page MPR, the participant of the activity, Osman Sabta, reminded to continue to maintain Pancasila. Previously head of a working unit of President Pancasila Ideology of Pancasila, UKPPI, Yudi Latif mentioned that radicalization understanding can be coped with if social justice is really realized. Moreover, Pancasila has mandated in the public discussion on the topic of religious radicalization and is strict to Unitary State of Republic of Indonesia held in Jakarta on last Tuesday. Yudi Latif explained that Pancasila principles have a comprehensive interpreted the ways to overcome radicalism. He insists on overcoming radicalism not only with symbols of tolerance but also basic problems to be solved. Meanwhile, Deputy Chairman of PR Mahyudin said there are many national challenges that have occurred since Indonesia was independence. As written in a page in PR.go.id, Mahyudin affirmed that there are always individuals or groups trying to disrupt the ideology of Pancasila. He is grateful that nowadays there is spirit of various elements of the nation to re-actualize Pancasila all over Indonesia. He emphasized that all elements of Indonesian nation are to jointly strive and unite to face all the challenges of the nation. Having succeeded in bringing the people of Indonesia to the frontier of independence that is pre-united, suffering, all of them are jointly striving to realize justice and prosperity. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
This is Ania Sana with News in Brief. The government of Indonesia will issue a regulation on an online learning program or e-learning in the near future. This was stated by Minister of Research, Technology and Higher Education Muhammad Nasir in Jakarta on Monday. The Indonesian government is pursuing the value of Indonesia's exports lagging behind Malaysia, Thailand and Vietnam by opening new export markets and new products. This was affirmed by Trade Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita after meeting Vice President Yusuf Kalla at the Vice President's office in Jakarta on Monday. The Embassy of the Republic of Indonesia in Singapore tries to improve the competence of Indonesian seamen who perform sign-on, sign-off activities in Singapore. Canadian government encourages existing educational institutions in the country to collaborate with other educational institutions in Indonesia, particularly vocational or technical training institutions. The Embassy of the Republic of Indonesia in Singapore is trying to continuously improve the information technology system that has been used to market products from Indonesia to Singapore. Indonesian Foreign Ministry through the Indonesian Citizen Protection Directorate and Indonesian Legal Affairs and Indonesian Consulate General in Penang, Malaysia, continues to provide legal assistance for Adelina, a migrant worker who was allegedly killed because of her employer's torture in Malaysia. And the last item, in response to Indonesian President Joko Widodo's request, in a working meeting of Indonesian head representatives in Jakarta on Monday, the Indonesian Embassy in Singapore begins to improve services for Indonesians in Singapore. And listener, that was News in Brief.
Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to enjoy Toge Goreng in Bogor, West Java. Stay tuned. Bogor, one of the cities in West Java, is located near the capital city of Jakarta, just less than 1 hour drive from downtown Jakarta. It makes the city are mostly visited by Jakarta residents or foreign tourists for their vacation, especially on weekends. You can enjoy various attractions in the Rain City. There is a Bogor Botanical Garden, which offers the wealth of Indonesian plants. Then the Bogor Palace, Situ Gede, Sindang Barang Cultural Village, and other interesting tourist objects. After you are satisfied to visit various interesting objects in Bogor, it's not complete if you are not enjoy the delights of various Bogor typical culinary. Culinary tour in Bogor, we suggest you to enjoy the sensation of its typical culinary such as toge or toge goreng. The main ingredient is bean sprouts. Usually the bean sprouts is processed in front of the buyers using a simple stove. It doesn't suitable with the name toge goreng since it is not fried. Toge is salted or boiled with hot water. Toge goreng then mixed with yellow noodles, pieces of ketupat or rice cake, and tofu. Then the ingredient that has been cooked is watered with tasty sauce made of oncom. The oncom sauce is salted that has been mashed first along with spices such as galangal, onion, bay leaf, tomato slice, leek, chives, and taucho or soybean fermented paste, sweet soy sauce, orange juice, and salt. The taste is delicious. Toge goreng is one of the typical culinary of Bogor, as favorite culinary of many people, because it tastes good and the price is relatively cheap. It is only 15,000 to 20,000 rupiah per portion. Usually, toge goreng is sold by the street vendors, and some peddlers sell the food by using carts. Besides in Bogor, the culinary also can be found in other areas such as Depok, Tangerang, and Jakarta. The dish of toge goreng actually have tight history with the Chinese ethnic in Bogor Rain City. An observer of Chinese history in Bogor, Mardi Lim, in a portion of toge goreng, almost of them used the term of Hokkien. From taucho, which is a fermented soy, then mee or noodles, and tauge or bean sprout, all derived from the term of Hokkien. This culinary is also believed was born from the association of the Chinese people and European community. In Europe, there is spaghetti with its incredibly sort of tomato paste. The menu was brought to Indonesia by the Chinese traders. Before being brought to Indonesia, they had processed this culinary with some ingredients such as noodles, tofu, toge with typical sour tomatoes of China. As the time goes by, Mardi Lim said, the spread of toge goreng run from the western coast of Java, such as Pandeglang and Banten. In this phase, the menu was changed. The Sundanese people, who are accustomed to the lalap or raw vegetables, choose oncom to replace tomato sauce. Listener, that was the segment of Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic toge goreng. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, introducing some Indonesian vocabulary and guiding you to use them in a conversation. Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia RRI Foreign Broadcasting Station and the Agency for Language Development, the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is memilih makanan, or in English, choosing food. Following, I will give you an example of a conversation on memilih makanan, or in English, choosing food. As usual, I will say each sentence slowly twice. You can follow after me. This conversation happens on the plane between Tony, who comes from England, and a flight attendant who is going around to distribute food to passengers. Tony is asked to choose the food. Let's listen to the conversation then. Permisi. Anda mau makan ayam atau ikan? Permisi, Anda mau makan ayam atau ikan? Excuse me, do you want chicken or fish?
Saya mau ayam. Saya mau ayam.
I want some chicken.
Baik, silakan. Baik, silakan.
Okay, here you are.
Terima kasih. Terima kasih.
Thank you.
Sama-sama. Sama-sama, you're welcome.
After listening to the conversation, I will introduce the vocabulary and phrases related to today's topic. I will say its words twice and you may repeat after me.
Permisi. Permisi. In English, excuse me. Anda. Anda. You. Mau. Mau. To want. Makan. Makan, to eat. Ayam, ayam, chicken. Atau, atau, or. Ikan, ikan, fish. Apa, apa, what. Anda mau makan apa? Anda mau makan apa?
In English, what would you like to eat?
Anda mau makan ayam atau ikan? Anda mau makan ayam atau ikan? Do you want chicken or fish?
Saya, in English I,
saya mau ayam. Saya mau ayam.
In English, I'd like some chicken, please.
Silakan, silakan, here you are.
Terima kasih, terima kasih, thank you.
Sama-sama, sama-sama, you're welcome.
To
offer some food, you can say, Anda mau makan apa? Anda mau makan apa? Which means, what would you like to eat? To answer the question, you simply mention the name of the food or beverage. Or you can also answer with complete sentences, such as, Saya mau makan, which means, I want to eat, then followed by the name of the food. Examples. Anda mau makan apa? Anda mau makan apa? In English, what would you like to eat? Anda mau makan ayam atau ikan? Anda mau makan ayam atau ikan? Do you want chicken or fish? If you give choices, use atau. Atau in English, or, between the choices. When giving food or something to others, use your right hand or with both hands. If you give something only with your left hand, it would be considered as rude. Well, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia today with the topic Choose Food. Oh, salah. With the topic Choosing Food. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language. We will also hold a quiz with interesting prizes later on. So, until tomorrow with a different topic. Thank you for listening.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we'll present some dangdut songs to you, featuring Veni and Lesti. Stay tuned.
Biarkan aku cinta dalam hidupku hanya kepadamu.
You have just listened to the song Engkaulah Takdirku by Weni. The song was released in March 2017. The dangdut contemporary song was composed by Adibal Syahrul and tells about someone who loves his or her beloved person and believes the person become a special gift from God Almighty in his or her life. It was the single of Weni's victory in a Dangdut Academy 2 contest and the first single of Weni since she began to enter the dangdut music industry in Indonesia. Listener, before we present the next dangdut songs, let's listen to a song entitled Lelah Mencintaimu by Weni. Enjoy the song.
Mencintai dirimu, aku
singer with an original name, Veni Wahyuni, is actually has an outstanding singing talent. Since her childhood, Veni liked to sing and following various singing competitions in her region in West Kalimantan. With a strong desire to increase her potential, Veni tried her luck to follow a dangdut singing contest held by an Indonesian private TV station. Her talent in singing dangdut then brought Veni has successfully won the competition of Dangdut Academy 2. After releasing her first single, Veni then released the second single entitled Lelah Mencintaimu in December 2017. The song was composed by Henry Saki and tells about falsity in love. The music of the song has a medium tempo. Interestingly, Veni added rap genre in the middle of the song to make it more enjoyable, unique, and interesting. Listener, now let us listen to Lesti, another young dangdut singer, who also comes and began her singing career since her childhood in Cianjur, West Java. Listener, the two songs of Lesti entitled Egoist and Kejora will conclude the segment of Music Corner for today. Enjoy the songs and goodbye for now.
Harusnya tak begini. Di antara kau dan aku, sama-sama bertahan hanya karena satu ego sendiri.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th Floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.